It's time to check in with NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams for Political Corner.
We're joined today by Donna Brazile, former campaign manager for Democratic presidential nominee Al Gore in 2000. Ms. Brazile now runs her own political consulting firm in Washington and is a professor at Georgetown. Is that right, Donna?
Absolutely.
At Georgetown University. All right. Also with us, Michael Fontroy. Mr. Fontroy is a professor of political science at George Mason University, a recent Final Four team as well, and the author of Republicans and the Black Vote. Let's start with a story that appeared on the front page of the New York Times on Wednesday, reporting that a federal panel that conducted research on recent elections downplayed a finding that there's little evidence of voter fraud. Instead, the Elections Assistance Commission was found to have issued a report focusing on what they called in the Times the pervasiveness of fraud, and suggesting that this question was open to debate, and as a result, played up the use of more voter ID cards, things that have been proven to drive down voter turnout. Donna Brazile?
Well, one, first of all, the Election Assistance Commission was created in 2002 with the legislation entitled Help America Vote Act of 2002. The purpose of this commission is to help voters navigate the political process and to provide resources to state and local jurisdictions to conduct fair, honest, and transparent elections. The commission has sanctioned several major studies to look at issues involving the electorate, one on voter fraud and the other one on voter intimidation. Voter fraud, which many Republicans cite as one of the major problems facing our electoral system, is as widespread as perhaps lightning striking individuals. It's not an epidemic. There are very few cases prosecuted by the Justice Department each year. In fact, it's less than 100 cases out of millions of votes cast across this country. And this study, which the Election Commission redacted, watered down the conclusion that there's no widespread evidence that voter fraud really exists in this country.
Donna, let's come to the point then. The point is, in your opinion, did the administration get politics involved because the administration wants fewer minorities to go to the polling booth?
It appears that politics was involved in this situation. How else can you explain why the commission, two Republicans and one Democrat, who I'm very disappointed in Gracia Hillman, why would this...
She was the one Democrat?
The one Democrat. Ray Martinez III had... resign for personal reasons. But why would Gracia Hillman, anyone else, endorse a report that's watered down so that the conclusion could be used by those who would attempt to impose restrictive voter ID requirements, which many people believe and suspect hurt turnout of minorities, seniors, poor people, and young people who often don't have the resources to go out and purchase the so-called IDs that are required to vote?
Michael Fontroy, the courts already, in fact, invalidated a standing in Georgia requiring photo ID for voters. And, of course, the argument was made in Georgia that this was punishing poor and low-income disproportionately Black and Hispanic voters who might not have this ID to vote. I wonder, from your perspective, if this is as purely political as Donna Brazile argues.
I tend to agree with Donna. And it's not just the administration that's interested in this. And much of the research I conducted on my book, I found that the Republican Party is better situated when fewer minorities vote. It's just the way the numbers break down, given that most African-Americans and most Hispanics are actually going to vote Democratic. So the more of them you can keep away from the ballot box, the more likely it is that you're going to get Republicans elected. And so this Election Assistance Commission report is doing for voter fraud discussions what some have done with regard to global warming, and that is to say it's muddying the waters. It is making it seem as if this is more than it really is, and it takes the eye off the ball from focusing on making sure that people who are eligible to vote actually vote and have their votes counted to whether or not people are actually legally voting.
All right. Topic two today on Political Corner, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Edwards, the three leading Democrats for their party's presidential nomination, have decided to forego a September 23rd debate set for Detroit that's to be co-sponsored by the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. I guess the official name is Congressional Black Caucus Political Education and Leadership Institute, and Fox News Channel. What we're hearing is that obviously the Democratic Party didn't endorse this as an official debate event, And Obama spokesman Bill Burton says CNN seems like a more appropriate host for a major Democratic debate. Michael Fauntroy, is this a stand against Fox News? Is it a stand against the Congressional Black Caucus? What's going on here?
Well, quite frankly, Juan, I'm mystified and conflicted by the deal, generally speaking. You know, on the one hand, it makes perfect sense to me that an organization would want their event to be seen by as many people as possible. And if you want to do that in terms of cable news, you go to Fox because they have the largest audience. Conversely, though, it seems to me that unless the CBC has full editorial control over the content and panelists who are going to be doing the debate, I don't understand beyond audience size why they would want to team up with Fox. It seems to me that the audience you're going to get there may not be, or at least the argument has been, may not be as open to the ideas that may come out of that sort of debate. So I'm not sure what it's all about. You know, I think it's perfectly reasonable to understand why, but it just confuses me as to why the CBC would want to team up with Fox, unless, of course, Fox is the only one that approached them. If CNN or MSNBC approached them, or PBS for that matter, and they surveyed all the offers and said, okay, we're going to go with Fox, well, okay, that's fine.
Well, CNN, in fact, is co-sponsoring some debates with CNN, so I don't think that's an issue. But the question would be, as you said, Fox has a bigger audience than CNN, but it's a very different audience. So,
absolutely.
I think people would say, and I work for Fox, that Fox is a more conservative network. So is that the issue, Donna?
Well, the CBC Institute, which is not affiliated with the CBC Foundation, I'm on the board of the foundation, so we had no input into this decision. They approached the networks to co-sponsor several debates. CNN has agreed to co-sponsor one, I believe, in January. It will be held in South Carolina. And, of course, Fox agreed to sponsor one that would be held sometime in September. As you know, several of our leading candidates on the Democratic side, Mr. Obama, Mrs. Clinton, as well as Mr. Edwards, all have agreed not to partake in that debate. Now, the reason, of course, and they've all given several reasons. I mean, John Edwards clearly believed that Fox is not balanced, that it has a very rightward slant. Mrs. Clinton, of course, decided that because the debate wasn't sanctioned by the DNC, she would not participate in Mr. Obama. I really can't tell you what his exact reasons are. The truth is that the DNC has now stepped up to sanction several debates, six debates in total, and they've decided not to sanction the one sponsored by the CBC Institute for reasons that, I tend to understand and agree with, although I've been, as you know, Juan, I've been on Fox before. I now am a CNN commentator. But they've made a decision that they would not sponsor one with Fox because many of the candidates, at least the leading candidates, have decided not to attend.
But why?
Because the candidates decided that they do not wish to participate in a debate sponsored by a network that they do not believe is fair and balanced.
So even though the idea would be, I guess, to try to persuade that audience or to expose that audience to different ideas, they think that they are taking a stand against Fox and, in essence, kind of shunning Fox and saying, you know what, you're not a legitimate news organization.
Well, that is the position that several of these candidates have taken, and they've decided not to go on the Fox News Network. Other candidates, Dennis Kucinich, for one, has said that he will go on Fox. I believe Joe Biden said he will go on Fox. But the leading candidates have said that they would not participate in any debate or conversation on the Fox News Network.
So it's a shunning. It's an estrangement.
They have made a decision that they would not appear on Fox.
I have a different take on why they haven't done it. I think John Edwards did it for principle. Yeah. Barack Obama did it for some unknown reason. I think that Senator Clinton followed Obama because she didn't want to be the biggest name on that stage when the two other leading candidates are gone. And that calls into question whether or not this debate will actually take place, because who's going to be there to see Kucinich, Biden, Dodd, and so on? And some of those candidates, by the time September rolls around, may not even still be in the race. So who even knows if this event will occur?
Michael Fauntroy is a professor of political science at George Mason University. He's the author of Republicans and the Black Vote. And Donna Brazile, former campaign manager for Democratic presidential nominee Al Gore in 2000. Ms. Brazile now runs her own political consulting firm here in D.C. Donna, Michael, thanks for joining us on Political Corner.
Thanks
Good to
for
be with you, Juan.
NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams joins us every Thursday right here on Political Corner.